So this morning we are continuing in our series on Samuel. I do hope you are learning a little bit more about this character from the Bible and that you are enjoying that. I also hope that you're learning a little bit more about God's character and also learning a little bit more about your own character as we journey through this series. This morning we are looking at the passage of 1 Samuel 16, 1 to 13, which Kate read to us earlier. In my NIV Bible, this passage is entitled The Anointing of David. In the series, Peter has entitled it Open Heart Surgery. I should ask Peter if it's a coincidence that we are looking at the heart on Valentine's Day. So, in this passage, Samuel is being sent by God to go and anoint a new king for Israel. Things have not gone so well under Saul's reign, which the Israelites were kind of warned about last week. And so God has instructed Samuel to go and anoint a new king. This would not be a king due to his lineage. It was not going to be Saul's sons, but a king God was going to appoint and reveal to Samuel. A few months ago, I remember preaching on David and told you that he was not the natural fit for a king. He held no status. He was the youngest son of Jesse, and we know that he was a shepherd living out on the hillside and probably have given very little education. So David is not the likely candidate to become Israel's king. But under God's guidance, Samuel goes to Bethlehem, to the house of Jesse, to anoint the man who will be the next king. It is interesting to note that Jesse brings his sons to Samuel to be anointed, but doesn't even think to bring in his youngest son, David. It's the older sons who are brought before Samuel, and David is only called upon because Samuel asked him to bring his youngest in from the hillside. And so, on Samuel's instructions, David is brought before him. Before Samuel anoints David, before he meets with Jesse and his sons, God says this to Samuel in verse 7. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Samuel knew God was going to direct him to the right son. Samuel knew God so well. He knew and was able to recognize God's voice. Samuel knew when God was calling him to do something, and we discovered that a few weeks ago when God first called Samuel as a boy. Samuel knew God's voice, and he knew God's heart. And so when Samuel meets David, God lets him know that David is the chosen one to become king. As Samuel knew God's heart, David also knew God, and he knew God's heart, and God knew David's heart. God knew David inside and out. He knew all about him. He knew his character, his strength, his love for God. And God knew that David was going to make a great king. So what did make David the chosen one? Why was he so different from his brothers? I think God chose David to be king because ultimately David was a man after God's own heart. But I do wonder where David got this heart from. We know he would not have been overly educated. After all, he was the youngest son of a very large family. He'd been put out on the hillside to look after the sheep, not the job that anyone else wanted. And I imagine as David sat out on that hillside looking after that sheep, he was spending time in the presence of God, simply just being in the company of God. He walked alongside God on that hillside and developed a relationship and heart for God that gave him a depth of love and character. When we read some of David's Psalms, we glimpse that closeness and intimacy that David had with God. And that was the heart that set him apart. It was because of that heart that God called him to become king. The calling of David to become king is a powerful reminder to each one of us that we don't need to be people of power and influence to be people after God's own heart. We don't need to be popular or have lots of friends to be people after God's own heart. We don't need status, influence, power, or to be respected by many to be people after God's own heart. We simply just need to seek God in our everyday, to actively spend time in his presence and allow him to reveal himself to us. We get to know people by spending time with them. I know that's not very easy during a pandemic over Zoom, but just by being with people, we get to know them. By listening to people and to what they have to say, we get to know people. By sharing a two-way conversation, we get to know people. And the same is with God. It's only by being in the presence of God, by actively listening to him, by sharing with him, that we get to know him. In the past 3 years or so, I've been influenced by the Celtic tradition and have enjoyed engaging with some of the material from the Northumbria community. Much of that tradition is liturgy, but it's also about actively listening to God, about taking time to simply be in God's presence, not to go into God's presence with a long list of prayer requests before quickly moving on to the rest of my daily tasks, not to simply whip through a Bible reading and thoughts so that I have ticked that off my list to do that day. Although, don't get me wrong, that sometimes is my attitude. But I have tried to work into my rhythm of life to simply be in God's presence, to allow him to speak to me, for him to form the agenda rather than the other way around. Last year, during the first lockdown, Kirkstall Abbey became a special place for me. I often went alone just to walk around the place, not because Kirkstall Abbey is a mystical place, but for a time it was a place where I could close my mind off to the rest of life's demand and to simply spend time looking at creation. I watched the winter move to spring, to summer, to autumn, and then back to winter. I simply went just to be in God's presence. And so, as I imagine David out on that hillside, far away from his family and watching his sheep, he would have simply have just spent time with his Creator. And from here, by simply being in God's presence, he was able to develop a heart that was after God's own heart. This, I believe, was the best preparation he had to become king. Verse 7 again. The Lord looks at the things. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. God looked beyond the physical, and he was able to see God's heart when he chose him to be anointed to become king. I wonder how often we are able to do the same. I would like to think that I can see beyond someone's physical appearance and to see their heart, but it's so hard to move beyond that physical outward appearance. Like many of you, I use social media. I am trying to reduce my time on it, but it is so addictive, isn't it? In the past few years, I've found myself posting less and less on Facebook and have moved to the Instagram platform. I think it's the pretty photos on Instagram that seduce me, and especially if the images are about food, fitness, or fashion. See, I am showing you my own vanity. In the last few years on social media, we have seen the rise of the influencer. These are often ordinary people who have gathered a huge social media following. And now, because so many people follow them, companies pay them money to use and to subtly advertise their products. The life of a social media influencer is glamorous, or so they would have us believe. They use clever camera angles, filters, and tricks to change the way they look and carefully set up every image and video. Things are not quite as they first appear. And this is done to achieve likes. The culture of influencers, some of whom now make millions of pounds, is all about the appearance, the outward appearance. Creating the perfect scene for a photo, giving it the right lighting or filter, and making sure the image is cropped and not so everything in the background can be seen. In today's society, we can so easily get caught up in the external. Even if we go beyond the superficiality of looks, we often look for other external successes, be it jobs, education, authority, power, influence, status, wealth. And often power, status, and wealth come all together in a neat package. We can be seduced by it. We can strive for it ourselves, or perhaps we can think we're not good enough for it. Perhaps we even present a better version of ourselves than the reality, either on social media or in real life. Do we attempt to give others a good impression of ourselves? Do we display a facade? Do we say or do things because we want others to think better of us than we really are? Do we attempt to cover up aspects of our character? We may be able to deceive others, but we cannot deceive God. It's so easy to try and to make ourselves look good in front of others, but God doesn't care about what we look like. He cares about our heart, about our love for him and our love for others. This is all about character, the person we are beyond what we do, what we look like and what we say in public. Dallas Willard says this: "The people to whom we minister and speak will never recall 99% of what we say to them, but they will never forget the kind of persons we are. What we do is less important to God than who we are, and the reality is who we are has the powerful influence on the people around us." When Jesus was on earth, people tried to trick him. They tried to find out how much that he knew about the law and the scripture. In Matthew 22, we read that the Pharisees tried to trick Jesus in asking him which was the greatest commandment. The Pharisees loved to follow the law, an outward expression of their devotion, but perhaps not always coming from the heart. They asked Jesus because they were testing him about his knowledge of the law and his observance of it. And Jesus' answer in verse 37 is clear and simple: "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That is the greatest commandment." And Jesus goes on to say in verse 39, "And the second is to love your neighbour as yourself." This is all about the heart. Ultimately, as Christians, we are simply to seek after God's heart, to love him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and we are to love others. As I was preparing for today, the words of Martin Smith came to mind in his song, "Lord, You Have My Heart." He says this: "Lord, you have my heart, and I will search for yours. Let me be to you a sacrifice." And so today, I just want to ask you, do you have a heart after God's heart? Are you listening to God? Are you loving others? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you have created us all differently. We thank you that regardless of our background, our education, our so-called significance, that we are significant to you and are loved by you. Help us to become people who have your heart, to be people who seek after you and your ways. Help us to love you more, to know you more, and to love others. And in this time of isolation, let your presence be very real to us every day. Amen.